ran up on the hill about 12 o'clock. Reached right back and got me a poke. Went to the hard one, got me a hook. Placed that line right on that hook. Said, you've been fishing all the time. I'm a-going to fish you too. I bet your life, your loving wife, catch more fish than you. Any fish bite, got good bait. Here's a little something I've let you lay. Any fish bite, got good bait. I'm a-going to fish you. Yes, I'm going to fish you. I'm a-going to fish you too.
This is the Why Fish Radio Podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Why Fish Radio. Why Fish Radio is brought to you by Cats on the Red of Lockport, Manitoba, Trophy Cat Adventures, Guide Service on the Red River at Grand Forks, Bullet Bobbers, check them out on the web, bulletbobber.com, and Northern Heat Outerwear. Well, this week, folks, it's Thanksgiving week. You're probably traveling, and Why Fish Radio, probably the least of your worries. And frankly, we're in the transition between open water and ice fishing, so there's not a whole lot going on up here in the North Country. But we've got some pretty exciting news, and I was there, witnessed it. Brad, you got something to tell here, and it's not fishing related, but it's just as cool.
Absolutely not. Definitely not fishing, but went deer hunting again. Hopped back on the horse for the first time since 1985 last year. And, of course, we were in an area where deer numbers happened to be down. And so we didn't have success last year. But we caught the tail end of the season here west of Grand Forks. And I was lucky enough to shoot my first deer on Sunday afternoon. And it was a pretty exciting encounter. You know, obviously, having been there to witness it yourself, you know, from the vantage point of the cattails, you missed, I guess, maybe the initial thrill of those deer busting out of the slough. But I guess there's kind of a follow-up part. Long story short, there was a doe that hopped up, and I hit it at about 70 yards. She went down initially and got up again and ran around behind a hill, and we didn't see where she went down. So we're kind of not really tracking her, but we're just looking through the grass and, you know, trying to pick up some sign because we knew she hadn't gone far. And at that point, I was beginning to kind of second guess what had happened a little bit because we'd been looking, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes maybe?
Yeah, I'd say about 15 minutes moving around and just checking the area. And, of course, we're in a tall grass field that looks just like a laying down deer, so a lot more skill involved in finding it, I guess, or luck, or whichever you prefer.
But I remember, you know, being up on a little bit higher ground, I remember looking at that last slough in that, you know, once we got around the corner of the hill, and of course it was the tallest grass around and, you know, the best cover, and apparently that wounded deer decided that was a pretty good place to be, and you picked up some sign unbeknownst to me.
Well, luckily there was some fresh snow that some deer hadn't gone through. So if I got this bright idea that if I just be careful and watch the fresh snow that was melting at the time, I should be able to pick out the track if she crossed it. And lucky enough, I found that one track when she was running and just kind of stayed on it and followed her right into the cattails and another two steps and I could have kicked her right in the butt before she got up again.
Yeah, she must have been awfully close to you by that point. I just remember hearing you holler, and you said, there she is. And I looked up, and I see this deer running right at me. And, I mean, it was just a total case of information overload at that point. There was way too much happening at one time, and had to kind of get it sorted out and process it. And finally came to my senses about the time she was 40 feet away with a nice broadside shot and pulled up the scope. And basically, I think all I could see in the crosshairs was brown deer fur. And pulled the trigger, and she pretty much just buckled over, and that was kind of the end of that chapter. But what an exciting, totally adrenaline rush producing moment that was. You know, I guess if you were to look at it in fishing terms, which I tend to do, the only thing I could really compare it to is the sight of just an absolutely huge muskie coming up and looking at you right beside the boat, or, you know, maybe hitting beside the boat. It was a very, very intense moment. And, you know, even though it wasn't a trophy buck, all I had was a doe tag, so that's all I could legally shoot. It was still pretty exciting, and at the same time, it's going to make some great eating.
Well, eating it will. In fact, we just, before we started recording, had a little venison meat from Sunday, not out of that particular deer, but I think it turned out pretty good, although the chef is a little more experienced than we are.
Well, picked up a couple of tricks there today, and I mean, there's been a lot of new experiences going on here the past 3-4 days. And, you know, that's the fun part about any aspect of the outdoors is when you can learn something new. And, you know, that was definitely the case with the deer hunting. I mean, the way we were doing it in North Dakota was a little bit different than what I was brought up with, you know, when I started hunting as a kid in northern Minnesota. And, you know, saw some different things and learned some different things. And, of course, got to, you know, try my hand at the delectable process of gutting a deer and, you know, helping with the skinning out and stuff like that. So, you know, from here on out, it's like anything, getting that first one is a big one. And I think from this point it gets easier. And will I do it again? Yeah, definitely. Will I become a hardcore deer hunter? No, probably not. But, it was fun. And, you know, it's definitely the kind of thing that's worth spending a couple days at, you know, especially right now when there are just so many deer. It's, you know, kind of important to get those numbers down. And, you know, if hunters can help do their part to make that happen, you know, I'm more than happy to hop on that bandwagon.
So how are we as teachers? I mean, I got to talk you through the whole gutting process, which almost worked with the exception of a couple of organs that we couldn't find, but we eventually rounded them up. And I wasn't involved much in the skinning process and the meat cutting process of the teaching, but how'd we do?
I think real good. It was, it was just a matter of, it's like me when it comes to carpentry. If somebody tells me where to pound a nail, I can usually figure out how to do it. And, you know, in this case, too, and again, it was, you know, it's like anything. If you're flaying a fish for the first time or whatever, you're not born automatically knowing how to do it. And our buddy here last night, Jason, had some good techniques and, you know, was able to share some real good tips about, you know, especially that skinning process. And it went pretty good. I mean, we cut up, you know, skinned and cut up 2 deer in, what, about 3 hours all told?
Well, not only did we skin them in 3 hours, we actually processed them right down to the packaging in that amount of time. And that's him teaching you how to actually start the skinning process and through the, you know, actually getting it prepared for the quartering and the processing. I mean, so that's pretty good time considering you've never did it before. And we made you skin that whole deer by yourself.
Absolutely, and I wouldn't have had it any other way. I do know now that, you know, having tasted a little bit of success finally after so many years, you know, keep in mind that there was a long, long gap where I didn't hunt deer. But, you know, having apparently gotten back into it again, there's a few things I'm going to have to invest in, you know, one being a good hunting knife and definitely some of those plastic arm-length field dressing gloves. What a huge benefit that was, I thought, you know, especially when you're digging in blood, which isn't something I savor at any time. It, you know, just a few little tools of the trade, you know, luckily that you had, obviously, they're essential and you have to have them.
Well, in the case of the gloves, there was a local sporting goods store that had them they must have got a good deal because they had a post-deer hunting sale, 39 cents a pair. I won't be buying gloves for about a decade.
Well, I tell you what, they were worth every bit of those 39 cents. And no, it was just a real enjoyable experience. You know, there was a time that afternoon where the fun meter was registering pretty low for me anyway, because you know, we'd had some missed opportunities the day before and you know, even earlier that day. And then we kind of hit a lull where, you know, we just weren't seeing any deer and you kind of start, you know, second guessing kind of the whole reason why you're out there. And it seemed to me that one really needed to get out and make it happen, you know, in order to actually see some deer and have some success. It seemed like it worked a lot better than, you know, just aimlessly driving around and hoping to see something. Because, you know, that was, I guess, you know, especially when you shoot a first deer, you kind of have, at least I do, have in your mind how you want things to happen. And this one, I don't think I could have choreographed much better. I mean, we're out in the field and, you know, especially the doe got up and there was a huge buck with her, which I wasn't able to shoot at because I didn't have a license. And
I did have that license, but I was in the weeds, so I couldn't see it.
You were badly out of position, so, I mean, it wasn't really an option for you either. But, you know, just to watch that whole scene kind of play out was pretty cool. And then, of course, that last brain-jarring moment, you know, it probably took a total of maybe 5 seconds, that whole thing, but it was very, very intense. And, you know, it's definitely going to make for a story that'll make great conversation around the campfire for many years to come.
Well, and, you know, we've been saying that about fishing since day one, which we've been doing this for over a year now, and you know, we just thought that since this just happened and it was a good story, and you know, it's all about that making memories, and we both got one here. I mean, my buck tag went open this year, but who cares, because it was fun tracking that deer. And you know, we had two of probably the most amazing hunts I've ever been on as far as spotting and stalking and, you know, catching up. And it was just, it ended up being a missed opportunity, but they were just awesome, awesome hunts, because there was a couple of shot opportunities in there for me in particular, just because I got the position and didn't have the right tag, that were just, I mean, money can't buy that perfect shot after that perfect hunt.
Well, and that's why when those deer jumped up there on Sunday afternoon, and you know, that doe was about 70 yards away and running, you know, I finally came to the realization that, I mean, if you're going to sit here and wait for the perfect shot, it's probably not going to happen. And I mean, it was a good situation. I mean, we were in an area all by ourselves. Everything just presented itself in a real nice way. And you know, like I say, as soon as I shot, I could tell I hit her. And but again, it's one of those things. There wasn't a whole lot of time. You pull up the gun and like I say, it wasn't the ideal shot. She wasn't standing there broadside looking at me. But you know, after a day and a half, it just kind of dawned on me that probably wasn't going to happen. And you know, things really did work out for the best in this situation. And pretty cool story as a result.
Well, after that experience, you're going to be a little quicker on the trigger the next time the opportunity presents itself, and that just comes from having some success with it now, getting the confidence level up, and you know, it's the same as setting the hook when you feel the fish at the right time.
Like a light biting fish on a jig, absolutely. It's one of those things that's kind of hard to explain, but you just kind of know it, you feel it, and the more you do it, the easier it gets. And you know, I guess, you know, touching on fishing a little bit, is we are definitely in that in-between time right now. I mean, we've gotten teased a little bit with some cold nights. You know, you start seeing some ice forming on some bodies of water. Even Lake of the Woods in areas had some ice on it, but of course then it warmed back up again, and you know, we're probably back to square one, especially on big water. But you know, a few cold nights and you know, some of those smaller lakes and ponds, it's not going to be long before it's you know, people are thinking about walking out there. And of course, when that happens, you know, start thinking safety, and you know, maybe that's something we should touch on a little bit more for another show. But the time of year to be wandering blind out on the ice.
That's absolutely right. We're going to wrap it up this week. Folks, if you didn't like the hunting story, we'll be back with fishing again. It's just, we thought a little change of pace was in order for this week. So going in, Christmas season is here. Look at some different Christmas presents. You know, use some of the Why Fish sponsors. You know, a nice vacation to Cats on the Red might be nice. If you don't want to head to Canada, maybe you want to call up Ken Hollins on the Red and book a trip in the States. The fish seem to be about the same, just looks a little different. Or, you know, maybe some stocking stuffers from Bullet Bobber or somebody. So, you know, check those guys out. All the information is on our site, and I think that's going to do it for us. Brad, anything else to add?
Nothing at that point. We might as well conclude this week's edition of Why Fish Radio. So until next time, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
And be safe over Thanksgiving, everybody.
You have been listening to the Why Fish Radio podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad. For more information, log on to our website at why-fish.com.